You know, you said that you learned today that there was no water for us. Do you know why there's no water for us? Do you understand why? Well, little bit of testimony from me real quick. There used to be a man back in the 60s and early 70s that was named Juan Martinez. And he knew the Bible forwards and backwards. And he used to go around putting on revivals all over the world. And he was a very charismatic man. And Baptist preacher both agreed that all you had to do was believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again for your justification. And so I said, well, yeah, I believe that. And I believe that I was saved then. But as I grew older and studied, I realized that a lot of the stuff I was hearing coming out of the pulpits, and of course things were changing, was not what I was reading in the Bible. So I started asking questions. And the first question I asked was, hey, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ died for my sins 2,000 years ago, why are y'all trying to tell me I gotta ask forgiveness for him? Either he died for him 2,000 years ago or he didn't. And I got labeled a troublemaker and asked to leave the church. I went to another Baptist church. First thing I asked them, hey, why are you saying I gotta ask forgiveness for my sins? Didn't Jesus Christ die for him 2,000 years ago? Oh, you ain't nothing but a troublemaker. We don't want you around here. And I was like, well, where am I going to find some truth? So my folks and a few of the Sunday school teachers in that last Baptist church decided to start their own church called Liberty Church. And I thought, well, let's go see what this is going to be all about. I helped them get the church started. And lo and behold, they were speaking in tongues and dancing in the aisles. And they called it a full gospel church. And I thought, well, I guess I need this. So I went down to get prayed for one night to try to get the gift of speaking in tongues. And it didn't matter. Nothing was coming out. So they started beating me over the head and on the back and shoulders with the Bibles and groaning from the pain. And they'd give me that verse about how the Spirit knows how to pray for us, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I never did groan anymore, and I thought, you know, I'm reading that the signs are for the Jews, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. I'm not a Jew, so the signs couldn't be for me, and I think what I'm seeing is that all those gifts stopped way back then. So I went to several other churches and stuff over the years and studied my Bible for close to 40 years. And I saw that the baptism was for the priests. And I saw that Jesus healed all that came to him. And that Israel was promised to be a nation of priests. And that we weren't a nation, but nobody ever told me anything about the dispensation of grace. And then I was preaching in a Pentecostal church, online church, one night, and I ended my sermon with 2 Timothy 2:15. And I said, I know how to study to show myself approved. And I know about being a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I said, but I'm not exactly sure what that rightly dividing the word of truth is all about. But I'll find out. And when I do, I'll let y'all know what rightly dividing the word of truth is all about. And then a very dear sister who's no longer with us, she quit coming to that Pentecostal room. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing now? And she said, well, come on over and listen. And I went into the room, and my Nick at the time was Holy Rolling in Texas. And the reason it was Holy Rolling in Texas is it was kind of a play on them Holy Rollers. But I wasn't really a Holy Roller. I was holy and sanctified by the blood shed on the cross by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I rolled in a wheelchair, and I lived in Texas, and thus I was a holy rolling in Texas. And as soon as I went into Jim's class, I got dotted, and I started PM and all the admins, and their PMs were closed except for Gracie. Gracified Saint was the only admin that I could get hold of. And I chewed her up one side and down the other about being dotted. I said, man, I can't even ask questions. I said, that ain't no way to treat somebody. And I said, my Nick don't mean I'm a holy roller. And I told her what it meant. Well, I stayed dotted for about 3 times. And then Jim took the dot off one day and asked me about my Nick, and I told him. He just kind of scoffed. And they started talking about all this stuff, and I said, that's not what the Bible says. I said, I'll show you what it says. And I got into the Word, and lo and behold, they were saying what was true. And I was like, how in the world did I miss this in all my Bible studies? Why didn't I see this before? And then the whole Bible started making sense. Everything that I had studied about Israel was all about Israel. And what had been their books for 1,500 years from Moses to the cross was still their books. It was his story, how God made the nation of Israel from one man, and they're his chosen people because he set them apart, starting with Abraham, to be circumcised in the flesh. And all the Old Testament and all the old prophecies and all that stuff was all about Israel. And I said, well, dang, that's why Jesus was baptized. I mean, all this stuff starts making sense. I said, well, that's why Jesus was baptized. He was fulfilling the Levitical law to become a priest. He was 30 years old when he started his ministry, which is what the law says. He got baptized before he started his ministry, which the law says they have to be washed before a priest can start their ministry. Then, even the Kings and the Chronicles and the genealogies were interesting to read. I used to couldn't stand reading what the Kings were doing and the Chronicles and genealogies and who begat who. But once the Bible made sense, you could trace all that who begat who down through Israel all the way to Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, I found out what rightly dividing the word of truth was. The word of truth is defined in Ephesians 1:13 as being the gospel of your salvation. And I said, well, I always thought that Peter and them preached something different than what Paul was saying. And then it dawned on me why my mom told me that the letters of Paul were going to mean a whole lot to me one day. I said, my mom knew about this, and nobody had ever told her. She found it through her own studies. Of course, my mom died in 2001, and I didn't know right division until sometime in 2006. But then everything he said in the Old Testament about Israel being a nation of priests and a holy nation, and everything made sense. And I knew that they were still going to be a nation of priests when he comes back. You know, everybody wants to say that God is not a liar. Jesus asked Peter, who dost thou say I am? Peter said, you are the Son of the Almighty God. And he said, no man has told you that, but the Spirit of my Father. And upon this rock, I will build my church. His church, after he comes back, is going to be that holy nation of priests that go out to all the Gentile nations.
Can you tell me what happened in Matthew 4? And that's the only thing people remember about Matthew 4. No, not in Matthew 4, but he was thrown in jail. After Jesus came out of the wilderness and went into Galilee, John the Baptist was thrown in the jail. Now, what gospel was John the Baptist preaching? John the Baptist was preaching, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom is at hand. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. And as soon as Jesus heard that John had been thrown into prison, Jesus started preaching the exact same gospel. Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom is at hand. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and guess what? In Matthew 6, he taught his disciples to preach the exact same gospel. And thank you, Mike. Well, in Matthew 10, Jesus sends them out and tells them not to go into the way of the Gentiles. And in Matthew 15, he says in verse 24, I am sent not to, but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was ignoring that Syrophoenician Gentile lady. Hey, Panda Man. I am. Well, what I'm trying to get at, Matthew, Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching his disciples about the kingdom that was at hand. And then he was crucified, and he told them to go to every creature under the sun. But everybody forgets about Matthew 10:23. Where Jesus told his disciples that they would not have even gone over the cities of Israel until he comes back. So I would guess that the so-called Great Commission, which is so-called by man, not God, will not happen until after he comes back. And if you read about Pentecost in Acts 2, Peter was talking to ye men of Israel, all ye of Judea. He was talking to Israelites. And he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And those that repented and were baptized did what? They sold all they had and had all things in common, like Jesus had told them to do, and not just the rich man, because it's in two places in Luke, Luke 12 and Luke 18. But they sold all they had and had all things in common in preparation for what? The 70th week of Daniel and the 7 years of tribulation. And that's in Acts 2, the 3,000 and 5,000 were added to the church. Well, if they were added to the church, don't you think you ought to figure out what church that is? Well, that would be the church of God at Jerusalem, as Paul describes it. That would be the church that started with John the Baptist. Of those that repented and were baptized in preparation for the kingdom. That was Jesus' earthly ministry. Paul says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the promises to the fathers. And what were the promises to the fathers? That they would be a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. But Jesus Christ saved Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, who was a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Matthew, are you listening? Well, how in the world could Jesus Christ save somebody who had blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Did he not say earlier that that sin would not be forgiven in this world or the world to come? Wait a minute. The world to come? That means there's something different from the world he was currently in. That must be the world he was talking about in Matthew 28, when Israel will become that royal priesthood and kingdom of priests and a holy nation again. That must be the world to come that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in. Hello, Janice. Hugs. But Paul says that in him first, Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern for those that hereafter shall believe. Thank you, Ed. So that sounds like something different happening with Paul, doesn't it? Him first, and those that hereafter shall believe. And the Apostle Paul says that it's his gospel. He says that he was preaching the myth that were hidden God since before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, as a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, rightly dividing the word of truth has an awful lot to do with the difference between what was spoken since the world began, which Peter and them preached according to prophecy, and what was hidden in God since before the foundation of the world and only revealed to the Apostle Paul in the mysteries. So rightly dividing the word of truth, what is the word of truth? Most people assume that it's the Bible. Well, loosely described, it could be the Bible. But Ephesians 1:13 defines the word of truth for us. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So if we're rightly dividing the word of truth, then rightly dividing means making a straight cut or a precise cut. We're dividing truth from truth. Repent and be baptized for the kingdom at hand was truth for Israel. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that the faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And the best description of how we're saved by grace through faith is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, precisely 3 and 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. And that doesn't mean that you have to keep it in mind to stay saved. What that means is, keep in your mind what I preached unto you, so that somebody doesn't come and try to tell you that you got to be circumcised. Because there was a lot of people trying to do that. That's why Paul calls it my gospel. But that's referred to also as the gospel of Christ. And there is so much more that we get into. But Matthew, we believe the words on the page as they're written, to whom they're written, for what time they're written. Amen, Mike. What's the 2:3? For this is good and acceptable unto God. This is a faithful thing and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Right. God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. It's His will that all men are saved, become saved, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, guess what? You can't come unto the knowledge of the truth without being saved. You can get book smart, but you won't have knowledge of the truth. We meet here about 2.5 hours earlier than it is now. That's 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time for the next few weeks. And we usually go about 1.5 hours. And you're very welcome to come with us and study with us and fellowship with us. And if you would like, add Mike to your pal list and he can invite you just before we start. But sometimes we either stay late in this room, open another room, go into a private room to discuss some of the deeper matters, or to do like we've done with you, try to show you the mystery, the fellowship of the mysteries.